Another one, Alva J. McLean, which is on the table here. Dr. Alva J. McLean. Such an announcement would have had no special significance whatever to Israel, for such a rule of God had always been recognized among the people. Compare the psalmist's affirmation concerning the righteous. I'm sorry. It should start off with, if the kingdom announced. Let's go again. If the kingdom announced as at hand by the Lord had been exclusively a spiritual kingdom, or as some have defined it, the rule of God in the heart, such an announcement would have no special significance whatever to Israel, for such a rule of God had always been recognized among the people of God. Compare the psalmist's affirmation concerning the righteous, the law of God is in his heart. Psalm 37:31, emphasis in the original, from Alva J. McLean. The rejection of the kingdom is set forth clearly for us in Matthew 11 and 12, the Messiah rejected. There's increasing opposition to Jesus. There is the unpardonable sin that is committed, called the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which is attributing to Satan what God is doing, or what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's what they said. This is all of the devil. The ministry of Jesus. And then a final request. A request for a sign. Just give us a sign. Do the magic. Show us. But of course their hearts were cold. Something was happening. A hardening was now taking place. They were resisting. They are resisting. Not just a gospel message such as on a Sunday night or a Wednesday morning. They are now resisting a messianic offer. God has appeared. The messianic kingdom is on the horizon. It is at hand. It is near. And John said, flee from the coming wrath. The axe is already at the root of the tree. Repent. And if you don't, you'll end up being burnt in the eternal fire. The day of the Lord was hanging there, ready, followed by the messianic kingdom. Now let's go to Matthew 13, and let's select a few verses here that have to do with the offer and the postponement. Matthew 13. Apologies, please, I can't go through Matthew 13 verse by verse. I'm only selecting a portion, which is verses 10 through 18, and then one or two explanatory parables. So main point three is the postponement of the kingdom. Now when we have a look at Matthew 13, we find it is divided for us very simply. First of all, the parable spoken to the multitudes. And then secondly, the parable spoken to the disciples privately. So you have the first 35 verses, the multitudes. The Lord Jesus comes out of the house and the crowds that are there by the Sea of Galilee. And wisely, he takes one of those fishing vessels, gets into the vessels and goes out into the water. And as it were, an amphitheatre is created, and the Lord Jesus Christ starts speaking these parables, particularly the one you know, the parable of the sower. What a wonderful message that is. But it's a two-edged sword. Not only does it explain things for those who are inside, but it starts condemning the outsiders. We'll see that in just a moment. And then the Lord finished. In verse 35-36, he goes in to the house with the disciples. And they stood up. What's this mean? So, let's have a look at that. Matthew chapter 13, verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Great multitudes gathered together, so they got into a boat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold the sower. And then in verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. Which there are other parables that he... They wanted to know that one. They got an understanding of the parable of the sower, but the parable of the wheat and the weeds and the tares troubled them. So the Lord is in the boat, and he is explaining this parable. Rather, he's declaring the parable. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And there are different situations, as we've seen. I mean, those of us who, or those who have lived in India, and those of us who have visited India regularly, you see them going out and sowing the seed. Seed can go anywhere. Four different locations. First of all, verse 4, the footpath or the wayside. Verse 5, stony places. Verse 7, amongst thorns. Verse 8, good ground. Good ground. And Jesus said in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, oh, this is terrific now. You are giving a story so that we can understand what you are saying. What have they been saying previously in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A nationwide campaign. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get right with God. The root is at the tree. Judgment is coming. The Messiah is coming. The kingdom is coming. Get written. And now we find there's somewhat of a change. And the disciples say, why? Why do you speak to them in parables? We have this in point 2A and B down the bottom of the page if you're following the notes. He answered and said, and let me read this now. He answered and said, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You might say, that's unfair. That's favoritism. Why is there a change here? Ah, you have to read the previous chapters, you see. Rejection, 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 rejection. Some might say, hey, just a minute. Not all the Jews live in Galilee. There's many Jews in Jerusalem and in Israel and around the world, in Rome, other places. What's going on here? This is premature. We've got to tell the whole of the nation of Israel in all of the world before a judgment like this can be made. This is just a little outpost. Nothing good comes from Galilee, you know, they say. Nothing good comes from Galilee. What's happening here? Ah, I'll tell you what's happening here. Samples. Representations. There is a principle that you are able to take one item to represent a whole lot of items. That's how your food is tested. You go down to the Cadbury chocolate factory in Tasmania. They're not down there biting off a corner of every chocolate and having a chew. Oh, I'd love that job. I used to work for the electricity company that used to pass the product, the electrical products that you use. I was part of a team. Thumbs up, thumbs down, as an inspector. And there used to be an email factory out near Waterloo that made many electrical products. Products that used to register your electricity account. And we were a team to say, yes, they're being manufactured correctly or they're not being manufactured correctly. And one day I had to go there as one of the inspectors and say, you can't do this, you have to close down this factory. We can't close down the factory and so on and so on and so on. How did I make that decision? I just went over to the production line, took one sample, inspected it, and it failed. This must stop. Get rid of all these. Tidy up the problem. See, a representation. Oh, incidentally, that's how you got lost.